ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस बोथ, मे ब्रह्मन् bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto us.
I bow to the eminent sage Patanjali, who removed the impurities of the mind through yoga, impurities of speech through grammar, and impurities of the body through medicine. We are discussing the Patanjali Yoga Sutras, a summary of what we discussed in our last class. There are schools of philosophy, and in India, the Sanskrit term for philosophy is darshana. Darshana means unobstructed, direct, intuitive experience of reality or who we really are. In this connection, I also briefly mentioned there are six schools of philosophy. Whether we call ourselves as philosophers or not, all of us are philosophers. What does that mean? It means we have a world view. Our world view is dictated by our understanding of who we are. To give a simple example, if we think that there is no God, there is no afterworld, there is no rebirth, our entire attitude towards this life changes. If there is no God, that means there is no justice. If there is no justice, there is no judge. If there is no judge, there is no police. Just imagine, you know, there is no police. Could you understand what is going to happen? When many of us do not turn into criminals, not because we are intrinsically good people, but because of the fear. Fear of even bad name. Fear of transgressing the family name, family honor. My father was so well known. Would I spoil his name, etc.? Fear of police, fear of morality. So, if there is no God, there is no justice, and there is no one to supervise, we can do what we like. And that's what most of the people are doing nowadays. If we are caught, we will see what happens. So, whether we like it or not, whether we know it or not, we are all philosophers. And most of us are unconscious philosophers. A person who says, I believe in God, I believe in the law of karma, and yet so attached to properties, so much miserly. Is it not common sense to understand that if this person really believes in the law of karma, what does the law of karma say? If we do good actions, we will get the good results, isn't it? If I can help other people, then who is going to get benefit? Only we. This most marvelous philosophy has been so exquisitely expounded by Swami Vivekananda in his book on Karma Yoga. By helping the world, we help ourselves. Read it again. We are not helping anybody. This is very important to understand. If I know that if I do this good karma, I am going to enjoy the result, who will not do it? Every one of us will definitely do it. We are all philosophers, but most of the time we are unconsciously philosophers. That is why if we observe a person's behavior, we know what type of philosophy is he. Sri Ramakrishna makes wonderful statement in one of his teachings, says, a worldly person's devotion is like a drop of water on a hot frying pan. What does that mean? 1 second, emotion comes and then it is gone. So you cannot call that person a devoted person. But if we become conscious and try to think about it, then one invariable conclusion, inescapable conclusion will come. What is it? Life on this earth is 99% pain, misery, suffering. If we open our eyes, it is suffering. Ha ha kar, nothing but ha ha kar. Alas, alas. Is it true? What is the first teaching of Bhagavan Buddha? First Aryan noble truth of Lord Buddha. Life is, do you think he is irrational? Do you think he is a depressed personality? He is the most enlightened person, what you call most mature person on earth. And yet he said, because that is the truth. Time means suffering, separation from everything else. So we are philosophers. But there are some people who sat down, I'm talking about Hindu philosophers, and thought things out, and as a result, six systems of philosophy have come. I briefly mentioned Uttara Mimamsa, Purva Mimamsa, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya and Yoga. Do not bother about the Sanskrit names. But all these six systems of philosophy are called Astika Darshanas. Astika means, you know, Astika and Nastika. Na Asti, Asti. Now, something very briefly I will have to tell you here. A believer and a non-believer. Believing philosophy, non-believing philosophy. Now, what do you mean by believing? Usually ask, do you believe? Are you a believer? Yes. What does that mean? I believe in a God. But that's not what is meant by orthodox systems of philosophy. What is meant is, I believe in the Vedas. I believe in the Vedas. In fact, the Sankhya philosophy, of which this Yoga philosophy, the practical part of it, categorically says, there is no God, there is no need for God. Everything is achieved through nature, like our modern scientists. In fact, it is very close allied to science. Whereas yoga gives a little bit allowance and says, no, there is a God. So Sankhya is called Nirishvara Darshana. Nirishvara means non-God philosophy. Yoga is called Seshvara, Sa Ishvara, believes in God, but not as we understand God. God is only first come, first served person. He was the first person, so he got lordship. He put his flag down and said, I am God. Who is there to challenge me? He is also, for a logical reason, he is considered as Ishvara. What is the logic behind? You know, we all have knowledge. And we never start with fresh knowledge. We always start with the knowledge accumulated over number of aeons. When we are born, we just start from where we are. For example, you know, the youngsters nowadays, computer savvy, we call them. But for old people like me, it takes a long time to understand. Most of us, the older we are, and the difficulty it is for us to, we may use them, but we do not really understand. These youngsters are like this, you know, just go on doing it. By the time they are, you are only seeing the fingers moving, nothing else. But they accomplish it so fast. So many IT people are here. So we all start with certain amount of knowledge. We build upon that knowledge. This is how knowledge is accumulated. Who is the first person? The very first person, imagine, there was no knowledge before and he has to acquire it. That first person who had somehow, we don't know how, he got that knowledge. He is called God by the particular system of yoga system of philosophy. Another function he fulfills is, we need to focus our minds upon some noble idea. So God is a very noble idea, not as devotees understand God. It's a target practice. Then without God, this whole universe, what is our idea of God? We do not think, but we accept it. What is the acceptance? If I see a beautiful chair, this microphone, when I see this microphone, do I really believe it just fell down from the sky? There must be some person who sat down and created it. So we see this varied, marvelous world is one of the arguments put forth to prove the existence of God. You know, this vast universe, billions and billions and billions and billions of galaxies, and each one is so powerful, we have no idea, even imaginatively, we cannot think about it. And such wonderful intelligence. I'm talking of two things here. One, the physical objects that we see, the power of the suns, the power of the stars, the power of these, what is called nebulae, galaxies. What is our earth compared to that? This is material thing. But look at the intelligence, an Einstein, a Beethoven, a Kalidasa, a Sri Ramakrishna, a Swami Vivekananda. You see tremendous power. Tremendous power. Now, what is power? This tremendous intelligence. What is intelligence? Knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge is power. You heard the word, knowledge is power. Because if you have knowledge, you can do anything you like. You can make, you can break, you can do anything. So why Sri Ramakrishna is so powerful? Why Swami Vivekananda is so powerful? Why Holy Mother is so powerful? Her power is even more than anybody else. Why is she so powerful? Do you know why? Because she has the knowledge. Her power stems from knowledge. What is the knowledge? All these are my children, my very dear children, my own children. That knowledge gave her that power. What is that power? Power of love. in spite of so many obstacles, so many betrayals, so many things, Holy Mother is adored. Why? Because we can go to her, do whatever we like, and she will never take offense. That is the power. What is the power due to? Power of love. What is the power of love due to? Knowledge. And that is the knowledge they got. That's such a tremendous knowledge. When we see in front of our eyes such a tremendous knowledge, then we have to wonder and say, there is a difference between me and this powerful person. So this power must have some origin. And what is the origin of that power? All the material things that are combined together is called Prakriti. All the power that we see in yogic terminology, it is called Prana. I will come to that subject later on, but I am just recollecting what we discussed last time, slightly, elaborately. So all this, both the material and the prana or power, both these combined must have some origin. And that origin is what we call creator, maintainer and destroyer. Constantly this phenomena is going on in each object that we see. There are so many cells in this particular so-called static table that's going on within our body. Cells are being created, cells are being maintained, cells are being destroyed. But that is not the idea of God, of unfortunately Sankhya. So what is the point we are discussing? That when the Hindu philosophies say we are astika darshanas, believers, do not mean belief in God. Then what do you believe in? We believe in Vedas. What is the distinction between believing in God and believing in Vedas? Who comes first? Does God come first or Vedas come first? Veda means knowledge. For you to believe or not to believe, first of all there must be knowledge. You can't say about nothing, I believe or I do not believe. Does it make sense? About something which doesn't exist, can you say I believe or I don't believe? Only about something which seem to exist, you have an option. Either I believe or I do not believe. So what is Veda? Veda means knowledge, not books. Veda means knowledge. Specifically, Vedas mean that knowledge which can never be obtained through our ordinary five sense organs. And therefore, even if we have to believe in God, we must have knowledge of God. Where from are we going to get the knowledge of God? Only from the Vedas. How do we know God exists? We don't know. The Vedas tell us. Simple. How do you know God exists? Suppose you, of course, most of us didn't read Vedas, excepting some what is called Upanishads you might have read, or Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is not part of the Veda, it is part of Mahabharata. So, how did you, from Krishna's devotees, how did you come to know there is a God? Because you read a book called Gospel of Ramakrishna. How do you know that you are suffering because of your past karma? Because Ramakrishna said so. How do you know you are going to have a beautiful life? I'm talking a very interesting topic. You know what is interesting? I'm using the word interesting many times because I heard from psychologists, if I use the word interesting many times, you feel interested in it. I'm not joking. It's really true. Marvelous. Stupendous. If somebody says, then you start getting excited. We are all devotees of God. We are devotees of Sri Ramakrishna. And we believe every teaching that Sri Ramakrishna had taught us is absolute truth. And what is it? He says, if you realize God, then you will be in a wonderful state. You will be free from all miseries, sufferings. You will be ever with God. You will not know what is birth, therefore you will not know what is death. You become paripurna, infinite, absolutely perfect. This is the hope, and because of our faith, we do our japa dhyana, is it not? If you really believed that my japa dhyana may or may not yield fruit, then you will never do it. You have the faith. Sometimes it may become wan or wax, that is due to circumstances. It could be music, it could be good food, it could be cloudy weather. There is a different issue. But certainly there is a belief, there is a faith. So that is why astika darshanas means those who believe in the Vedas. Afterwards, you may believe in God, you may not believe in God. Sankhya philosophy is one such thing. Darshana philosophy is also because of another reason I said last time, just to remind all of us. Three, because we are subject to threefold suffering. Adhyatmika, Adibhautika and Adidaivika. Physical, mental as well spiritual. Bodily and outside from the world or even from supernatural beings. We are all subject to misery, and that is we don't want to suffer. This is one thing is true. Everybody agrees on one point. or rather, let me say two points. What is it? Let me never suffer and let me be always happy. There is no conservative party, no labor party here, no republican, no democratic. All of us completely agree with that. And how is it possible? The darshanas tell us, yes, that is why it is called darshana. Yes, it is possible. So if it is possible, what shall I do? There are three things we can do, or we must do. First, you must believe that it is possible. Second, you must desire to attain to that, because even if you believe, that you may not have the desire. I'll give you an example. We all know, any one of us can become doctors or engineers or even the prime minister. It is, as citizens, we have the right and we can become. But do we desire it? We do not. So knowing is one thing, but desiring is a different thing. One person, one bright student, he knows he could become a good doctor, but he says, I do not like that subject, I like another subject. So also a person says, I believe in God, but I do not desire him. There are so many like that, and most of us are like that. If God comes and says, do you want me or happiness? Do you want me and happiness? Yes. So, the six schools of philosophy, darshana means, how can we get out of it? First thing, we must know it is possible and believe it. Second, we must desire it. Third, there must be a way to achieve it. Every philosophy tells us these three things. That is why it is called philosophy or darshana, not speculative philosophy. This is what we briefly discussed. Then also, we discussed the Sankhya and Yoga are very closely allied. So, Sankhya provides the philosophical part. Yoga provides the practical part, and I also mentioned Sankhya is heavily borrowed by Vedanta. Vedanta philosophy is different from Sankhya philosophy. The most important difference, because we are all devotees of God, we know some bit of Vedanta. So what is the difference? Vedanta always tells, thou art Brahman, aham brahmasmi. It doesn't say, as I mentioned, very important to understand this point. That you are Brahman? No. You will be Brahman? No. Vedanta always tells, I am Brahman. You are Brahman. Never past tense, never future tense. Because that is what we really are. That's our real nature. I also mentioned briefly, according to yoga philosophy, yoga means viyoga. I briefly mentioned the word yoke is derived from the word, huge Sanskrit word, yoking. Yoking means when two things are inextricably mixed together so that you can never separate them afterwards. That is usually the meaning we understand. Yoga means to unite. The individual soul is united with the universal soul. Jivatma is united with Paramatma. That is whether you follow Jnana Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. But in the yoga philosophy, it is just the opposite meaning. Yoga means Viyoga. Viyoga means separation from Prakriti. Whatever is Maya. Separation from Maya. Vedanta also is like that, only really speaking. When you say you are Brahman, you are not going to attain Brahman. You are never going to attain Brahman. You are not going to attain Brahman. You are not going to attain Brahman. Why you know? You are already Brahman. You have never been separated as Brahman. It is your real nature. But we somehow have forgotten that. What is the forgetfulness due to? It's called Maya. What is the Maya consisting of? According to yoga philosophy, it consists of three things. What are those? Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. Anyway, briefly, yoga means Viyoga. This is what we discussed. Now, let me give a very brief summary of Sankhya philosophy, because our whole yoga system of Patanjali is based upon this Sankhya philosophy. Sankhya means different numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, Sankhya. You count. That's why it is called Sankhya. Sankhya also means knowledge, really speaking. That is why the second chapter of the Gita is called Sankhya Yoga. There it is not counting. There it is. It means the chapter dealing with knowledge, self-knowledge. But anyway, here counting. What is the counting? According to Sankhya Yoga, there are 25 things. Just as chemistry tells us, there are 108 elements. The whole creation is consisting of 107 or 108 elements. Similarly, according to this philosophy, there are 25 elements are there. But of all these elements, there are two elements which are eternal, which are totally separate. What are they called? Prakriti and Purusha. Purusha means it is the pure consciousness. But according to Sankhya, it is not one. According to Vedanta, Brahman is only one. God is only one. According to Sankhya, as many of us are here, so many Purushas are there. So the nature of the Purusha is pure consciousness. And Prakruti is the other element, second element. Prakruti and Purusha. What is Prakruti? Anything opposite to the pure consciousness. What is that opposite? If Purusha is consciousness, then Prakruti is non-consciousness. And but it is eternal. Both are eternal. You know, this is an evolution of thought, human thought. It is not a final, what is called, reality. As we evolve, we understand a little better, and that is how in those days these people have divided. Later on, Vedanta took over all these things, combined them, and that is what we get now, what is called special Advaita Vedanta. Even according to the Ramanuja system, as I mentioned, I promised you I will not confuse your minds, but now and then I will just give a bits of information for the sake of those people who know a little better. According to Ramanuja philosophy, there is only one Paramatma, but Purushas, consciousness, individuals are infinite in number, like the cells in the body of one person. Anyway, that's not important piece of information for us. So what happened? This Prakriti, there is no English translation for this word Prakriti. What it means is the basic material out of which this whole universe has evolved. What scientists call matter. And matter, as you know, is completely non-conscious. One of the points I mentioned in my last classes, that these scientists who say matter is unconscious, non-conscious, they are violating their own beliefs. In what way? There is a science, law of science. What is it? Something cannot come out of nothing. That means what? If life principle or intelligence principle is not already involved in the matter, at some point how could it come out? Is it ever possible? But this is what most of the scientists are making mistake. As though consciousness has become a P phenomena, they call it. At some point, somehow as a byproduct it has come, mutation has come. As Swami Vivekananda pointed out, more than 100 years back, and say, if life was not there within matter, how could it ever come up? Well, suddenly will you find, you plant plenty of apple trees, or let us say neem trees. You know why neem trees? Your monkeys refuse to touch them. You can cultivate billions of neem trees, if you know that on one day suddenly you go there early in the morning, it's full of ripe, fuzzy mangoes. Is it ever possible? It's impossible. It is the scientific law. Swami Vivekananda had pointed out. So according to Sankhya philosophy, this is the nature of Prakriti. Everything that you can call, everything that we experience, if of anything we can say, I know this. Of anything we can say, I know this. So let me slightly elaborate it. I know this is a table. That means this table is belonging to whom? Is it Prakriti or Purusha? Prakriti. I know this body. That means this body is also an evolute of Prakriti. I know this mind. My mind is disturbed. How do you know? If you don't know, your mind is disturbed. Will you say my mind is disturbed? Because you said my mind is disturbed, that means that is separate from me. Whatever we know is not we. That is the first thing you have to know. Whatever we know is not we. The knower is different from the known. So of whatever we can say, I know, it belongs to, not to the Purusha, not to the pure consciousness, but the experienced, the known, the seen. So that is the principle. So whatever we see here, experience here, body, mind, ahankara, egotism, everything belongs to Prakriti. But as I said, Prakriti doesn't have consciousness. But our mind is conscious. So how do we explain that? To explain that, I give you a small analogy. Supposing a poor fellow absolutely has no clothes, and one day morning he comes to and attends a queen's dinner party, gorgeous clothes. He didn't have them. What do you presume? Only two things. Either he got them either by borrowing or stealing. Only two conclusions. So if whatever we experience is not having consciousness, and mind is what we experience, and that is the most troublesome of all the troublesome things. Which is the most troublesome thing? Of all the enemies we have, which is the most virulent enemy? Do you know? It is the mind. And the mind says, oh, that fellow is my enemy, this fellow is my friend, I like this, I don't like this. It is behaving as though it has wonderful intelligence, consciousness. But we know that it doesn't have consciousness. Because when you go to sleep, it is gone. And when we forget also, it is gone. Simple thing. You know, you have specs on your own face, but you forgot your specs. You are going on searching. What is the good of it? So what is the presumption? It must have borrowed intelligence. Now, the point we are discussing is, for some reason, which no philosophy has ever been able to solve, Swami Vivekananda was asked, "Sir, you are going on teaching us that we are all Brahman, divine. How come I do not know I am Brahman? If my nature is a pure consciousness, and the worst thing that can happen is losing that consciousness." You know what is losing consciousness? Not becoming unconscious, but not being conscious that we are conscious beings. If a rich man is lying down on the in the gutter, and you go on, "Sir, who are you?" He says, "I don't know who I am. I was in a strange town." That's what happens. I give you a very interesting example. This is what really happened in, I think, USA. One man, married man, had children, beautiful family. He loved his family. One day he walked out in the morning, and again, thereafter, not seen for 8 years or so. So police went on searching, they couldn't find anywhere else. Ultimately, after 8 years, somehow, he was traced to the next town itself. And then he was asked, "What's your name? Are you so-and-so?" Completely denied. He said, "My name is not that. This is my name." He gave a new name. What happened? Amnesia. Completely he lost his memory. So he walked out, went to the next town, and he somehow some name he got. He introduced himself, and then he got one lady, and they were married. He started having a family, and he's a good man. But what happened? Memory is gone. Our memory, and this point we will come back later on, is very intimately associated with knowledge. What is it that misleads us? Our memory. How do I know? You know, you are coming and sitting in front of me. This most marvelous subject. I know you for so many years. But how do I know who you are? Because of, suppose I lost my memory. Will I recognize you? Can I recognize you? If I lost my memory, you know what happens in old age? You know, dementia. Old people are lying in the hospital. And even their own children, or even husband, wife, go there. And do you think they recognize? No. Some idea is there, this person is a harmless person, that some vague idea is there. What a terrible thing state we can't recognize. We don't even recognize ourselves. So these are the two incidental points. What is the point? First of all, this memory is knowledge. Knowledge is memory. It is not really true. But knowledge expresses only through the instrumentality of the memory. The second point is, the memory is always associated with what we call our ego, my memory. Your memory will not do. "Swami, I know you very well." "Yes, yes, I know you very well. You know me very well, but I don't know myself very well." So what is the second point we are discussing about? First of all, even though there is knowledge, we may have tremendous knowledge. Einstein, when he is in deep sleep, is he Einstein or somebody else? Only when he wakes up, is he Einstein or not? Even then, no. Suppose he has got dementia and he is awake. Do you think he is Einstein? You know how many people lose their knowledge and everything? Memory is so intimately associated. That is why we need special keep. Let God bless us. Let we never lose our memory. Otherwise, life is gone, totally gone. It's like vegetables. Second point, it is intimately associated with me, ahankara. There is a special word for this, what is called the house of memory. In Vedantic language, is called chitta. Antakarna, inner organ, what is that? Manaha, buddhi, chitta, ahankara. I will again come back to this. Chitta means storehouse of memories. If the storehouse is put to fire, then we don't know who we are. So intimately associated. Why is it associated? One simple reason. Before you can issue any statement, positive or negative, what is this? This is a table. We never use that language. We say, even though if you ask me, "What is this, Swami?" I say, "It is a table, right?" But what I mean is, I am aware that this is a table. What comes first? Table or me? It comes me. First, I. That is why memory is so important. And right memory is even more important. That is why you have to pray to Mother Saraswati. Medha Devi, Yushamanana Agad. O Mother, let me have the power of Medha. What is Medha? Good memory. And memory also has got a lot of problems. It has both good side and bad side. If you can remember good things, that is the secret of happy people. You know, there is a analysis, statistics thing. Who is a happy person? A happy person is not a person for whom circumstances are always happy. No. Circumstances, weather, all these things are common things for everybody. A happy person is one who forgets unhappy memories and only remembers mostly happy things. And an unhappy person is just the opposite. So these are the two important points. Keep in mind, because we have to deal with these things in this Patanjali Yoga Sutras. First of all, even though there is knowledge, that knowledge can be expressed and is expressed, is possible to express only through memory. That's why memory is very important. And the second point, this memory is intimately associated with I or me. We will continue there. So what is the Sankhya philosophy? There are two principles. What are those principles? One is called Purusha, another is called Prakriti. What is the nature of the Prakriti? It consists of three gunas. The word three is a Sanskrit word. Borrowed. Three gunas. What are they? Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. So what happened? Before creation, perfect balance between Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. Perfect balance. And as I mentioned, for some reason, nobody is able to answer this question. If I am infinite, how did I become finite? How did God become the world? Can God ever become the world? Because God is infinite. Can the infinite ever become finite? Is it ever possible? Logically, it is not possible. That question, nobody was able to answer, including Vedanta. Only thing is, Vedanta frankly says, I don't know the answer. Buddha was asked, does God exist? Because if God exists, all these allied problems will come. If you had said God existed, the next question will be, why this hell? Who created the hell? Terrible. And then if God could create the hell, that means God is of the nature of hell, you know. He cannot create something from outside himself. Whatever is himself, can only manifest. That means he is a mixture of both good and evil. That is why in Vedanta, when you study Vedanta, it's very important to understand. Vedanta, the first description of God is Nirguna. But if you ask further, you know, Nirguna is not so appealing to me. It's like, give me a little bit, a hook whereby I can catch hold of it. Then it will say, okay, he is Saguna. But never, ever, Vedanta says, God is only of good qualities and not bad qualities. And this idea is expressed so emphatically every time we sit there. Srishti Stiti Vinashanam Shakti Bhute Sanatani. Srishti Stiti Vinashanam. Creation, maintenance and destruction. What does it mean? The Divine Mother is the creator of this world and she is the maintainer, sustainer of the world. She is also the destroyer of the world. We don't have to take it one step further. Who created happiness? Who maintains the happiness? Who destroys the happiness? Mother Kali. Do you see? Four hands. What does that indicate? This fact. That is why Vedanta philosophy, we conveniently ignore some parts. It says, God is only of the nature of good or auspicious qualities. He is also, if there is an auspicious quality, then inauspicious quality belongs to whom? I am a bit logical in my mind, you know. So you say, God is, you know, Ramanuja says, all auspicious. How do you know what is auspicious? How do you know what is good? You know, if there are 50 persons, how do you know who is a good person? And among good persons also, gooder person, goodest person. Who is the goodest person? A person who gives me one rasagulla is good. Person who gives me two is gooder. A person who gives me more than three is goodest. You know, this is how we are acting. I'm not joking. This is how we act and react towards everything in this universe. Who is nearest to us? The person who loves us most, forgives us everything, and does it. We can offend that person, but that person will never offend us. This is what we call. That is why Sri Ramakrishna doesn't take brook nonsense. Yeah. But Holy Mother, you can do whatever you like. She will still accept it. That is why this philosophy says, this somehow the infinite has become finite. If the infinite has become finite, can the infinite ever become finite? Is it ever possible? It may seem to have become. That is why seemingly. That is why vivartavada. Appearance. A rope appears as a snake. But it has never become really a snake. We have never become human beings. So one of our Swamis put it so beautifully. I repeated it, but I will repeat it again. We are not human beings trying to be spiritual. We are spiritual beings temporarily caught in the net of human body and mind. And so struggling to get out. Somehow, this Purusha, I am using that word, please remember, pure consciousness, somehow it comes into contact with the Prakriti. And what is the nature of Prakriti? Perfect balance. Perfect balance, no creation. Perfect balance, no creation. You know, like perfect lake. Swami Vivekananda gives that example. Perfect lake, you go there, you can know who you are. This is a beautiful example. You stand on the bank of a beautiful lake, absolutely calm. You look down, you can see the very bottom crystal clear. Then you can see your reflection. You know who you are. That means what? You know who you are means what? That means you know you are separate from the lake. When you stand in front of a mirror, when you look at your image, the first thing that you see is as you are. The first thought, the very first thought of any object, you know, I'm seeing you. The first thought, what is the first thought that comes? This is so and so. First thought is this is so and so. Then the memories come back. This roguish, this person is a rogue. Day before yesterday, this person had hurt me. Or 50 years back, he hurt my great-grandfather. You know, this is how this tribe fights against the tribe, you know that. So this memory, before that memory came, a pure knowledge. This is so-and-so, that is it. In the same way, when we look at the mirror, what is the first thing? This is my reflection. And then, am I looking all right? Is the powder all right? Is the coloring all right? All these, etc., 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 follow and disturb our mind. But before the disturbance starts, we are completely pure. That means what? We recognize, I am not the reflection. I am not the mirror. In fact, there is nothing called mirror. When you look at the image, do you remember any time this is a mirror? This is a very interesting fact. You know, there is a mirror. And you are here. What do you say? That's a mirror. Notice that. But the moment you go and stand in front of that mirror, are you looking at the mirror or are you looking at? There is a psychology, you know. There are 1,000 people making all sorts of noise. Can you hear what the persons at a distance are talking about? Can you understand what they are talking about in that big noise? Never. But let somebody utter, Swami Dayatmananda, Swami Dayatmananda. Immediately my ears get pricked. Even though I am pretending I am a bit deaf. I still hear that. Even if they are from the back, if they are whispering also, I hear. Why? Because I have special identity with myself. Suppose you say there is your old, what is called, photograph with other schools. What is it called? Alma mater. Alma mater, whatever. You know, 300 students there. Mm-hmm. Whom do you recognize there first? Where do your eyes go? Your eye. What is the point I am making? When we stand in front of a mirror, the first thing that happens is, I am different, mirror is different. This is only my image, my reflection. That is the important point for this. But later on comes, am I looking beautiful? Am I looking ugly? Should I do this? Should I do that? You know how much time it takes? Will you the joke, remember? Centipede couple was invited for a dinner party. So the husband centipede went outside waiting for the wife, waiting. And the wife, he was shouting, come out, it is time. He said, I'm coming in a minute. And he got so angry, he shouted. And she also got angry. I am going to come out within a minute. I have been shouting this for the last 1 hour. How do you expect me to match all my shoes? The shoes must be matched 100 feet. So what is the point? The first impression is, when I see you, we see any object, it is completely neutral. But later on, the memories come flooding associated with that object and it creates hell to us. So Prakriti, when it is in perfect balance, absolutely fine, no creation. But for some reason, this Purusha, pure consciousness, and this matter come near. And immediately there is a turbulence, and that causes the three gunas balance is lost. When that balance is lost, creation starts, maintenance starts, destruction starts, this whole circus, Vedantic circus starts. So this is the explanation of Sankhya philosophy. So the first evolute of that Prakriti is absolute balance. That state of balance is called Samadhi. What is Samadhi? That state of balance of the Prakriti where there is no evolute at all. Then what happens? The Purusha says, I am the Purusha. This is Prakriti. But the moment, just like, you know, the lake becomes turbulent, then at what happens? Our image also becomes turbulent. Our mind is, it lost our picture, original picture, and it goes on saying, if the image goes that way, oh, this is me. If the image goes this way, that is me. Means what? What am I talking about? If the wave goes this way, distorts the image, I am happy person. If the wave goes that way, I am unhappy person. I am good, I am bad, I am beautiful, I am ugly, I am learned. All these are ideas in the mind, chitta. How do we know? We know because each one of us are undergoing three states every single day. You know that. What are those three states? Waking, dream and dreamless. Waking and dream, this mind is agitated. We identify with the reflections, agitated reflections, disturbed reflections. But the moment we go into deep sleep, what happens? The mind is left behind. Then the pure consciousness, I am. So this is the explanation. What is yoga? Yoga is attainment of samadhi. What is samadhi? When the Prakriti or three gunas absolutely compose themselves into perfect balance. Incidentally, this word perfect balance is a beautiful word. When do you feel healthy? You know, we call, when do you feel I am sick? When there is a pain. What is pain? Imbalance. You know, we call it disease. The very word disease, how do you split it? Dis-ease. You are not at ease. You have lost your balance. So this is what happens. But when the balance is perfectly restored, then the Purusha says, I am Purusha. Other times, he identifies himself with whichever reflected image that is. So by nature, what is Patanjali telling? This is the most wonderful thing allied to Vedanta. What is it telling? It is telling to us that the nature of the mind is Samadhi. The real nature of the mind is Samadhi, perfect balance. But for some reason, it is disturbed. So what is yoga now? Restore the lost balance. And that practice, that which restores the balance, is called practice of yoga. And for that, there are eight limbs. Ashtanga, we call it. What are they? Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi. But to summarize what we have been talking, whether it is yoga philosophy, Vedanta philosophy, doesn't matter. What it means is, I am pure consciousness. For some reason, I have forgotten my real nature. I identify myself with other, with the other. You know, if I am not myself, then who am I? I must be someone else. And that someone else is called Maya, Avidya Maya, whatever name you call it. Ignorance. Ignorance means not absence of knowledge, but wrong knowledge. All our miseries come. Again, very briefly, this whole matter is evolved into or fallen down from its nature of Samadhi or perfect balance. That is called involution. What is involution? Descending, falling down from its original state. Say a person who is pure, a Prakriti which is absolutely balanced, it falls down. Then it becomes, the first evolute is called Mahat. Very subtle matter. You can't see it because it is a very subtle matter. Out of it, the whole thing has come. From Mahat. Again, I am sorry, there is no English equivalent to that. So you have to put up with. Prakriti degenerates, evolves, we call it. But in Vedantic language, it's called involution, means falling down. From its original state, it became degenerate into called Mahat. This is a technical name. From Mahat comes Ahankara. Ahankara means not your my Ahankara. That pure existence which says I am, that is called Ahankara. So Prakriti gives rise to Mahat. Mahat gives rise to Ahankara. From Ahankara came five subtle elements called Tanmatras. And from those five subtle elements came five gross elements, which we call space, air, fire, water, and earth. And from these two, from the subtle elements came mind, and from the gross elements came the everything that our physical universe. Now, earlier I mentioned, why do we want a philosophy, darshana, school of philosophy? Because we suffer from three types of miseries. These three types of miseries belong to whom? Only to body and mind. That means what? So long as we are identified, we forget our true nature and say, I am Prakriti. So, means, I am putting it in an easier way. So long as we say, I am the body and mind, so long we cannot escape. There is no something called perfect body. It doesn't exist. Perfect mind, that doesn't also exist. If you have a head, there will be invariably headache. If you have property, there will invariably be tax. Tax. You have to pay the tax. So if there is a mind, there will be worry. There will be blood pressure and all those things will be there. Worries will be there. So if I want to have body and mind and yet want to be free from the accompanying effects of body and mind, is it ever possible? So this is one of the most important explanations of Samkhya philosophy. It says every body has to undergo six changes. Call them Shadvikara. Six changes. Birth, then conformation, then growth, then decay, then disease, then ultimately destruction. All, there is every object that has manifested, it has to go through these things. And when we go through these changes, then we experience pain, misery. So, if we want to avoid these six changes, what is the way to do? Get rid, if you don't want headache forever, what do you need to do? Get rid of the, and if you don't want any mind ache, then what do you need to do? Get rid of the mind. So, what is yoga? That system which first tells us what is body, what is mind, what is your relationship with body-mind, and it tells crystal clearly, you are not the body and mind, and so get rid of it. But we are so much attached. Yes, that's fine. That is what your present state. But we will come to that. We will give you a formula by which you can get rid of this. So if I don't have body and mind, then who am I? At the moment, it's very difficult for us to imagine. If I am not the body, if I am not the mind, then what am I? We have no idea. But the scripture gives us a clear idea that you are that infinite, because all limitations or finiteness comes what? Because of particularities. And body and mind is nothing but particularity, limitedness. If there is no body, then three things will disappear, along with body and mind. Three things will disappear. What are those things? Desha, Kala, Nimitta. Desha means space. Kala means time. Nimitta means causation. And if there is no time, you are eternal. If there is no space, then you are infinite. If there is no causation, then you have no identity. To go beyond this, time, space and causation. And what is Maya? Time, space and causation. To go beyond this Maya, to know that I am really the divine. That is the goal of all philosophies, East or West or whatever it is. That is the goal of all religions. That's what the yoga proposes to tell us. There was a great soul called Patanjali Rishi, and he had formulated special technique. Very briefly, he deals only with the theoretical part, very briefly. But mostly it is practical. And who he is, and how wonderful this book is, and when it came into existence, and how it can help us. These subjects we will discuss in my next class. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.